listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February the 3rd. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, and I'm glad that the Skype gods favored me tonight.
Ah, the Skype gods can be both vengeful and blessing.
Yeah, they sure can.
Welcome to those joining us live. We love to have you here, but we also appreciate those listening in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm. Do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. Now, tonight, we originally were going to have Dr. Doug Kelly with us, and he unfortunately won't be able to join us tonight, but he will be joining us next week. We're going to have a fun topic we're going to love diving into, talking about the paranormal. But that is bearing unexpected fruit, because, Dr. Hunter, you came up with some great thoughts prior to the broadcast, and so tonight we're going to be talking about dreams, the unconscious, and the collective unconscious.
I love that topic. Yeah, we're winging it tonight. So,
we wing it every night, but tonight we're especially so.
That's true. I couldn't follow a script to save my life, honest to God. Anybody has any ideas or conversation want to throw in the chat, we'll do our best to follow and keep up with you, share your stories. But one of the things that I was mentioning to Michael before the program is, it's been going on for about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm dreaming all the time, like crazy dreams. Some are very vivid and I remember it. But I'm confessing something here. I finally said, that's it. I'm having brandy. I'm going to have brandy and I'm going to go to sleep. So, you know, you get that little buzz on, mm-hmm. You go to bed, you say, okay, I'm not dreaming tonight. It didn't work. I'm still dreaming. I said, well, that was a waste. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Now, what I do when I go through these things is I kind of survey all my friends, mm-hmm. and people, and I kind of talk to them about, are you going through anything interesting? Yes, I'm dreaming all the time. And my kids, everyone I have spoken with the last 2 weeks is going through something very similar. Here's Wendy. She says she's always remembering her dreams, and they're very vivid. That's great. I don't always remember my dreams, but some of them are so clear. Mm. So as I was mentioning this to Michael, you said you are doing that too, because a lot of people are saying they're sleeping lots, but they wake up tired, you know, and they're dreaming.
Well, yeah, and I feel like I'm in a light sleep, which, you know, we remember, we're always dreaming all the time, well, especially during REM sleep, rapid eye movement. But when you wake up during that time, when you kind of have a light sleep and you kind of come out of it, you remember the dreams a lot more. But I have had some lucid dreams in my time where I realized I was dreaming and I stayed in the dream, which was interesting. It was some weird esoteric thing about family back up north and things like that. But, you know, it lately I've been having a lot of dreams that are just not really nightmares at all, just disconcerting. And and I do wake up feeling tired a little, but it, you know, is it prophetic? Yeah, probably. Am I picking up an energy coming down the road? Sure. Is there going to be a calamity? I mean, I have no doubt, but I'm just kidding about that kind of stuff. But, you
well,
know,
my, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, here's an interesting thing. Have you ever had a dream where you died?
Yes.
How many?
Oh, not too many. But knowing that I was dead, yes.
That's such an interesting thing, and there's always those myths surrounding that. And if we're going to talk about dreams, we'll go a little bit morbid and talk about that. Because I've had three dreams where I died, and one of them was a long time ago, but it was so vivid. I remember seeing my brother, who was sharing a room with me at the time, completely off the wall. He appeared in my vision. You know, I was laying in the bed, and he appeared over me, and then had a samurai sword, and then cut my head off. But it was so vivid. I remember, I don't think it cut my head clean off, but I just remembered thinking, I can't breathe, I'm dying, this is happening, this is real. And then I woke up, and I'm like, what the hell was that all about? And
that's life.
Oh, that
alternate
stuck with
dimension.
Me. But another one, I was a child, yeah, a kid, adolescent, you know, 12, 13 maybe. And I was with some vague friends, and we were in this weird old building, and found a revolver, and I shot it, and the bullet ricocheted all over the place and then hit me in the throat. Don't have, and then again, same feelings of, I can't believe this is happening, this is so surreal, like, this is real, and then, oh, I woke up, and it. So those are a couple of the prime examples. You know, welcome to my therapy session. But it's just so interesting. You know, what is it with, you know, dreams? Of course, there's a lot of speculation where dreams are how we process information and store it for long term and things like that, which I think has a certain function. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about dreams and the unconscious and how that affects our waking lives.
Well, just to back up, as most people by now know, I was very fortunate to be apprenticed as a reader back my late teacher, Magda, who passed on in 1979. She knew I was doing readings. I went to read for her, and we ended up being best friends for 3 years before she passed. And she taught me all the old gypsy ways and their beliefs. Now, she would say that dreams are based on hopes, fears, and prophecy. Like, that was, and that's in many ways a very Freudian kind of approach to analyzing dreams. And there could be, of course, a lot of symbology in there, right? It's all the metaphors for fears and all the, you know, things for wishes and so on. But as time has gone on, you know, I don't entirely agree with it being as simplistic as that. I think that lots of dreams are based on hopes and fears. Absolutely. The prophetic dreams, I think, can include past life memory recall. It could be, you know, certainly predictions. There's lots of, but it very often comes in like symbolisms. It's not absolute. It's more like symbolic. And then how does that manifest? We're not really sure. Because we're all interpreting through our own psyche and how we see the world. So it's always subjective. But I think that we get into the unconscious mind and how it is then also digesting what we go through in a day. You know, we're processing information on so many levels in our consciousness. It's crazy. But then there's the collective unconscious. And as metaphysicians, we understand, you know, there's quantum entanglement. We're all energy. You know, we're all connected. We get that. And so I think that in this collective unconscious, we are working together on another plane as well as this reality. So that's where I go with it. Because when I can say, well, I've been having dreams, phone up my friend Jean or, you know, phone Italka. And they say, oh, I've been sleeping like a baby. I say, okay, it's just me. But when everybody seems to be going through a similar thing, I say, well, there's something in the collective unconscious that is connected. Like there's an energetic shift.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're all somehow in our unconscious minds tapping into. And so that's where I kind of say, ooh, okay, energy shift. Now, could full moons have something to do with it? You know, could the equinoxes have something to do with it? Could the weather have something to do with it? The planets are? Sure. I mean, all things are relevant, but again, it's speculative because it's open to interpretation. So I think that where I prefer to go, rather than trying to find these real, you know, specific reasons for it, I like to go with energy. And mm-hmm. even though we don't understand it and it seems so vague, it's kind of like we're all in COVID, right? The whole planet's in COVID. And we're all collectively connected with that. Whether you believe in COVID, you're a hoaxer, conspiracy theorist, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, you're still affected by this energy mm-hmm. that's going on the planet. Never mind organically and the fact that it's a virus. But our emotions are affected, but so is our psyche and our consciousness. So that's bound to place some stress in our collective energy. So I think that that has something to do with this. I'm just
almost
using
certainly.
That as an analogy, you know, and just that's one slice of the pie, so to speak. But I do think that there's all kinds of other evolutionary energies that play into it. You know, I know that I've had lots of dreams where I come up with an invention. I think, wow, you know, and I write it down or I come up with it. Yeah. And then a month later, somebody's got it on the market. And I say, well, now how did that happen? You know, how is it that we're tapped into, like, did we catch a thought through the cosmos?
Is that intellectual theft?
Sorry?
Is that intellectual theft? Did you steal somebody's idea via dreams?
It could be.
But you did see, somebody steal your idea through dreams? That's the question.
No kidding. And they had the money to run with it. So anything is possible in that. I'm just saying that there is this something else going on. So I think that our dreams, yes, symbolism plays a huge part. Fears, our wishes and desires and, you know, what it is we want in the world, and that all plays so much into it. But so does your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and so does your family, your immediate, you know, your extended family. If we're all going through something kind of the same, we're bound to be affected in our dream state, even at some other unconscious level.
Sure.
I also think that there's other levels of, you know, we can get into this quantum physics thing about all the various, you know, that we can get into the time space thing here too. You know, how there's so many other layers of energy going on that who knows, we could go on with this forever. But I think just to keep it as simple as possible, to stay within a study, a metaphysical study, is how we connect to our inner spirit and our own consciousness, you know, with our own evolution that's very private and, you know, autonomous, but there's also how we're collectively energetically connected. So I say something's going on out there. That's what I
sure think. I mean, and we've talked about this before. You know, you pointed out that we're going through an energy shift. Everybody can feel it. Things are uncertain. Things are tense. Change is afoot because people are no longer on the same page. And that's not located in any one country. I know we have a lot of listeners that are in the United States, Canada as well, but it's throughout Europe. We had in Myanmar/Burma, whichever you prefer, we have a recent coup, and you know, our thoughts go to those people who are now again, after a brief, almost 9 years of experiment with democracy, they're back to rule by the junta, which I'm pretty sure I'm saying that incorrectly, but it it's a tense time, and that permeates the collective unconsciousness, because we are going through an energy shift, a time of change. And that, I think, you know, Freud did say, well, Freud was wrong about a lot of things, but he did say sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and sometimes a dream is just a dream. And sometimes I don't think it is. Sometimes I think it connects to something. Sometimes, you know, we've all had that feeling that we go through a moment. It's more than deja vu. It brings back a memory of a dream that you had, and you can't help but stop and think, did I dream this? Did I dream this exact scenario happening? It feels it. You almost remember it. But
well, interesting that you mentioned a deja vu thing. I once had a talk with an indigenous elder about deja vus, and he said the more deja vus you have, the closer you are to your true path, because all your alternate selves are lined up. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
It was just an interesting way to look at it. You know, I see a lot of chatter in the chat room about astral traveling, and you know, astral traveling in their dream time, and some people can do it when they're awake. And I got to be honest, I got tired of astral traveling a long time ago, but
it became passé, did it?
I found that I needed to spend more time being grounded in here than out there. And so that's just, I don't know how I came to that decision one day, but there are certain things about astral traveling, everybody. There's been a lot of documentation about this. Absolutely, you can send your thoughts to another area, like it, extend your consciousness and tap in and visit other places. And one of the greatest stories I heard was, I know some indigenous mountain people, they live way out in the bush, and they were literally out in the bush and by a lake, and a Tibetan monk showed up. He just appeared, and they smiled at each other, and he sat down on a rock and sat there for about 15 minutes and then vanished. And a projection of the self into the minds of others. You know what I mean? It's like in projecting kind of your holographic energy, if you will. And so, I mean, there is how to stretch the consciousness, how to stretch the mind is an awesome thing to do. But there are laws of non-interference. You know, I was helping a girl probably about 30 years ago. Maybe this is partly why I kind of left it alone, was that I was helping her to learn how to astral travel. But I was saying there's also these laws about this. And what I mean by that is there's rules. You know, you don't interfere with other people's lives. Mm-hmm. You don't eavesdrop on other people's lives. Like, do it for good. And I think it was our third session in doing this. She, I've got to tell you, I went and I saw my boyfriend. He had gone to Vancouver on a trip, and I saw him in his hotel room, and I just went, well, we're done. You know, it's because she was worried that he was cheating on her. And so this whole, and I said, when we're not using it for good, and good meaning well-intended to your own conscious evolution as a spiritual being in a human body, then, you know, it's just, you know, more stuff to power trip on. So that's my view of it. And I know that there was a lot of scientific reports of it being done by, used by the CIA, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Some people say it's still going on, you know, the psychic experiments and so on. But astral traveling through your dreams is entirely possible. You know, it's I've done it, but again, could we just say it's a dream? You think you've been somewhere, but were you? You know? Because dreams can feel very, very real. So, it's just a thought. Astral traveling is good, but I'd say I got to learn about being here.
Well, it's always the balance of things. Even those that can't astral project, like myself, we do exist in the past, present, and future in a way of thought. We think about our past, we try to plan for the future, and we try to live in the moment. If we spend any too much time in any one place, we're not giving our life the balance it needs.
Yeah. I see that Dr. Stephen says he conducts remote viewing sessions. That's a great thing. See, if you're using especially remote viewing for healings, of course, like distant Reiki or distant energy healing, that's when even if you can astral travel, that's even better, you know, to project your energy that much. It's profound. And I think that's great. What else have we got going on? And I just want to catch up on the chat here because...
having a great discussion tonight. Yeah, and it really takes the pressure off us. So thanks, guys, for providing the content. You know, it's just way to go. But
well, Wendy asked the most unusual question. And actually, this is a really good question, Wendy. Has anyone ever traveled and gone into someone else's body? Is that even a possibility? She said she's woken up feeling that she did that. The only way I can answer that is based on an experience. I've had it many, many times, but I was 17 and I was meeting my mother for coffee in a little cafe. And she walked in the room, and I felt like I was in her body. And I saw how she saw the world. And it must have lasted about 30 seconds, which is a long time when you're in somebody else's psyche. But it was like we were in a shared energy space where I could see life through her eyes. And wow, that I got to tell you, it freaked me out for a minute. But I have since used that ability to not violate anyone by any stretch. It's to, in my readings with people, very often I can see the world through their eyes. So to me, that is sharing energy. So you're not necessarily going into somebody else's body so much as you're sharing in their energy space.
Now, do they realize it at the time as well? Can they feel your presence, so to speak?
I don't think so. I think it depends on how sensitive somebody is. Yeah. I can feel when somebody's wanting to get into my energy space.
Well, that just means I'm going to have to be a lot more careful with my inner monologue. But, and you know, talking about trying to, you know, astral project into somebody else's body... I've been trying to astral project into Henry Cavill's body, but it has not worked to date. No matter how much I pay these different voodoo doctors, but that being said,
it is an interesting experience. Since I was a little more, Wendy said the first time it shocked her and she didn't want to do it again. I appreciate that, but if you are someone who is going to do readings or counseling or any kind of, service to people or healings. And when you're in that space, and again, when you're invited in, You know, it's a benefit, and it's to assist somebody to be more conscious of themselves in whatever service it is that you offer. So I don't do it. I made a hard and fast rule with myself a great number of years ago not to do it with people that when I'm not in a session. So, you know, it's no. Besides, I don't want to. The more I got to know about people, the less I want to share their space. Sorry. Let's be real here.
another favorite comedian of mine, Dan Gummins, he has a joke where he says, you know, he's always believed in humanity, but then he runs into people and it makes it kind of hard. And, you know, it's funny because the truth is humanity has a lot to offer. Humanity overall is good, you know, especially over the arc of history. Sometimes it takes a long time for it to really shine through, but you just have to remember, it is only by the graces of those good men and women that throughout history have helped bind things together by being decent, by being honorable, trustworthy, having integrity, doing the right thing even when it cost them. That is the only reason our society is here now, is because there were enough of them to keep us going. So,
and that takes a sensitivity, empathic abilities, and recognizing that we are one species on a planet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sharing that space. Sorry to interrupt you. Wendy says, if she had the ability, she'd be happy to help others. Now, I would like to stop you there, Wendy, and say you do have the ability, and it doesn't have to be in a way that I do it or Dr. Stephen does it or anybody else does it. You're doing it your way. Now, Wendy is not only our fabulous cook, you know, that we always hear about what's on the menu for the night, but she also, you know, keeps track of all the cards that we choose for people. Wendy, you have this natural ability to connect with people, and even if it's through your cooking and what you're sharing, that's giving an energy and sharing a space. Now, if you wanted to assist people to teach them about cooking, to being creative and coming up with ideas for meals and those little, you know, things that you have going on, because, man, I've seen some of the pictures of your food on Facebook. It's crazy good. And even displaying. So if you wanted to offer yourself that way, what you're doing is healing people through that energy and the approach to food. Food
Absolutely.
Is the one thing that binds us all.
Oh, it does. And it can bind a group together, a family together, you know, friends. And it adds texture and wonder to life. It is one of the things that makes life worth living. So you're making somebody else's experience through this plane of existence better. What more could you ask?
Well, and I think that, Wendy, if being able to tune into people and know what their capacities are, kind of where they're at, and, yeah, she says food is love. It's exactly right. And there's a lot of therapy that goes on with food. So,
absolutely.
You know, that could be your way to, you know, I don't know, stretch that out a little bit, offering, you know, some of your instructional skills to other people. So,
absolutely.
Like Sherry just said in the chat, sounds like you're already helping others, Wendy, without realizing it. So, of course, everybody said they're on their way to Wendy's for tacos tonight.
This is why Wendy doesn't publish her address.
Well, there's no flights across the border, so I'm afraid.
You know, and... Well, it's only a 16-hour drive. That's not bad. We're talking about tacos, right?
Yeah,
so,
tacos.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing.
I think anything that Wendy would cook would be good.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I think the point about consciousness, I know we're going to move on to cards. Anybody would like a card? Oh, there they go. As soon as I said it, there's Jamil putting his name in.
Yeah.
That's good. Keep them coming, you guys. I think that dreams, if anybody has any other notations about dreams for future programs, please fire them off to us. And I'd like to kind of keep track of where everybody's at and what kind of you know, energy shifts were really in. So yeah. That would be good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was just going to say, as we're talking about, you know, we've gone through a lot of things, and one of the topics was, you know, kind of talking about astral projection. I would be remiss if I didn't relay this kind of funny, unintentional pun, but it was perfect hit. Dr. Steven talking about doing remote viewings. One of the most popular is the sinking of the Titanic. It's a huge hit. Only then realizing, no pun intended, but I can only imagine. And wouldn't that be interesting, being able to, you know, project into view into different periods of history? You know, I have to say, pyramids, you know, top of my list, are the, you know, lizard Illuminati that control everything right now going to be found to have built them at the time? I think so. You know, I only ask the questions, you decide. But anyway, but we do have to kind of get into our cards, unless you have any final thoughts on...
No, Dr. Steven has said prophetic dreams as a topic. I think that's a great, and
oh, yeah.
Dr. Schuss is warning dreams. So, you know, we can certainly stretch this topic out for another program.
Absolutely.
In the future. And we will make a point of noting that, prophetic dreams, warning dreams, and exactly what those are. You know, I'll just say as a footnote to that, you have to be careful about warning dreams, everybody. I had a client many years ago phone me up, and she said, Vicki, you have to be so careful of fires. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I dreamed that your house burned down. And I get, okay. And I said, well, symbolically, fire is cleansing, and it's renewal and rebirthing. And I can relate to going through some of those things right now, but when you start freaking people out by saying, oh, I see your house on fire, you know, you can cause some damage. So you have to be really careful about those warning fear dreams, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But we'll talk more about that. I just had to throw that in.
Oh, there's so many more avenues to go down. So, yes, I think great idea.
Yeah.
We're going to be later in the month talking again about dreams, especially focusing on that, you know, prophetic dreams.
Okay.
And that great idea. So.
Sounds good. So let's get on with some cards, Michael.
Ah, fine. Boss me around. All right.
Okay, we've got Jamil up first.
We do, and Jamil, I have wild card number 3. Always fun to start with a wild card. Blocks.
Yep. Oh, interesting.
There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like a free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
You know, Jamil, I got the 8 of hearts for you in support of blocks. And for those who are new to the program, Michael has the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards designed by Dr. Kelly, and I use the tarot as just a support card. So the 8 of hearts in support of blocks, Jamil, I'm going to say that you're into new territory. I see the 8 of hearts as kind of one of the, what I call the back cards. So it's really going on your intuition. You may not have a lot of logic. You may not have anything to guide you. It's something that feels sensible, but it's like moving forward. So I think that what this is telling you is trust yourself and free fall into a new direction, whatever is laying before you. So like, don't hesitate to go into new territory is what I'm saying. So I hope that makes sense to you.
Very nice.
Kevin is next, I think.
Actually, I think we have Monica.
Oh, sorry?
If I have my tally right. The chat was going pretty good. I know she threw her name in and then she reiterated later on, but I think she put her name in chat saying she was. But anyway, all right, so shuffling back in. This time I did throw the old card back in the deck. Kind of curious if it pops up. But this time I have number 24, Truth.
Interesting.
There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
In support of a truth, Monica, I've got the Ace of Spades. What I appreciate about the Ace of Spades is, think of it as, oh, I'm going to say literal, success is assured, but there's a challenge. So through the challenges, success is assured. And so owning the truth of something, even though it might be a little tough at first, you embrace that and move forward. So you're on your way. Actually, I just got a little, I don't know, like a tingle in my body that you got something big about to happen. So I want to say, don't be scared. It's all good. Just own it and move forward. That's what I want to say.
That's a great message. I really like that.
Yeah.
All right.
I need one of those.
That's what I was thinking.
All right, Kevin.
All right. And I have number 36, gratitude. Let's see. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely, without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Seven of Spades supports gratitude, and I like the Seven of Spades. I do. It goes sometimes better than you think. Of course, there's a reverse to that as well. But in this case, with gratitude, it kind of amplifies. And something is coming to you that you didn't expect. Something nice. And it's just accept it graciously. That's what I want to say. There you go, Kevin.
All right. And I believe we have Dr. Shirley next.
Nice to have you here, Shirley.
Always a pleasure. And tonight I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, I'm a little confused about this one, Shirley, honestly, because you got the Emperor as a support card to open-mindedness. Now, maybe it is being open-minded to somebody who's in a position of authority or someone you could be overlooking something that they have to share with you. So I want to say be receptive to somebody in authority lending a hand. So they might have ideas that you're not used to or it's a little bit outside of your thinking, but stay open and have a listen and see what you can do with that, because I'm seeing an open doorway when I say that. So I think that's good.
All right, then. And let's see what we have for Wendy.
All right.
Wendy, this is sympathy and empathy. Two things I know you are not in short supply of.
That's right.
Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, or relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Well, here's another seven, and this time it's a heart. So Seven of Hearts, Seven of Cups in Tarot World. In support of sympathy and empathy. Well, I want to say listen to somebody's dreams. I know that might be over in left field somewhere, but I'm inclined to say listen to somebody's dreams and have a sensitivity toward their dreams and support them in their dreams. So it's not so much for you that I'm getting this, Wendy, but a way that you can be of support to somebody else. That's, I just got to go with the feeling on this. So having that sympathy and empathy and knowing what that is, don't fall prey to getting suckered into a sob story, but rather listen to the dream and know that, I want to say trust them this time. So wherever that comes from. So it might be a really kind of well-based aspiration that they have. So I hope that makes sense. You have to give us some feedback on that next time.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right.
Sherry is next, I think.
I believe you are correct. And I have number 9, empowerment.
I like it.
Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution and principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, Sherry, I'm going to take this to literal. You need to power up, girl, because you get the Ace of Diamonds here. So when you have empowerment as well as the Ace of Pentacles, I'd say that ambition, it has to do with, I want to say something even entrepreneurial. That's the word that kind of comes to my mind, where I think this is a really good time for you to sell yourself or sell wares or doing a job and being really motivated and doing a great job on top of that. So don't hold back. I want to say just, you know, be that racehorse out of the gate and never mind everybody else, but go forward about it. So that's like, whew. That's a lot of energy right there. It's a good one.
All right.
Ronaldo. And,
yeah.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, I think rounding us out tonight, Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I have one of my favorites, an all-time great. It is wildcard number 5, Don't Hate.
Yeah.
I did not mean to rhyme. I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
Good one.
A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to yourself and others.
Well, Ronaldo, I think this is a really good message, and I'm hoping you relate to it. The five of clubs, to me, for me, that's kind of like the hard stuff is over, you know, and sometimes we have to let go of hard stuff, even though, like, not to carry it with us. And not to worry about that hard stuff repeating or happening again. Like, see it as a new day. So I feel like you've kind of been crossing a bridge, maybe, in a way. So I think all lessons learned, we're not supposed to forget ever, but we don't wear it, you know, so kind of carrying it on. So I think that you're living in a new day, and this is just saying shake it off. You know, any little things that trigger you, shake it off. And know that I think you're on a roll. I do. It's just trusting yourself now, having faith in yourself that you can handle anything. So you got this.
Good
hope that
message.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes easier said than done, but I like that, on a roll. And I was just thinking about that when you said that. It makes me think about how easily, you know, things can trigger us in terms of, you know, going through our day-to-day lives. But going to a trend of some of the things we were talking about, you know, to Sherry's point, you know, message of powering up, we got to take our power back. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to not let things trigger us. We have to be able to control ourselves and our reactions, because it's one of the few things we can control. So I like a lot of the great messages we've gotten tonight.
You know, it just brought to mind, thanks for the feedback, everyone. And Ronaldo says he can relate to that. So that's awesome. Thanks, everybody. One of the things, as I was up and coming and doing my self-healing work and ownership work and trying to become a better human being, which I hope I continue to work on that. But one day I was getting a project done and the guy was late. And so I had to phone him up and say, you know, I really need that work because I've got to get on with this. And in his very, I'm not going to bore you guys with my Russian accent impersonation, but he started yelling at me saying, what do you know about pressure and stress? What do you know? You know nothing. You've been through nothing in your life. And I started laughing. And I started laughing because in that very instant, I realized I wasn't wearing my life. It was such a freeing moment that somebody would look at me and think I hadn't been through anything. Yay. You know, because I had been accused my whole life of having that chip on my shoulder. You know, one of those chips. You know, where you wear all your stuff and you got that edge. And I thought, this is freedom. I didn't take it as an insult at all in that moment. I said, well, you just do your very best, and I appreciate that. So, you know, it was just a moment of letting go of stuff. And I had achieved that moment that I had, you know, been working toward. And, of course, there's lots of moments after that, people, trust me. But that was a real turning point.
Yeah. And it takes repetition, you know. It takes, you know, reasserting repeatedly, you know, the behavior you want versus the behavior that you were exhibiting.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that mostly to myself. Yeah. And reiterating it.
But I know.
It's been a great conversation, and I think starting with not a great idea about how we were going to delve into this and talk about it, I think we've been able to have a great conversation. And, well, Dr. Hunter, I credit that to you, and you've just been able to bring so many great ideas to the table. It's always a pleasure, and I got to say, it's truly a delight on my part to be able to come talk with you, see these folks in chat. I'm not just trying to butter you up so you join us next week and we keep the ratings up. I mean, don't forget, Sweep, he's coming. We got to get more listeners, so...
Yeah, I want to say the same. I enjoy Wednesday evenings, trust me, just as much as everybody else. And besides that, these days, I don't know what day it is unless it's Wednesday. Because I say, what day is it today? You know, that's Loops of Time and Memory. That's another good program. I'm going to talk about that. I've had a couple of experiences where, you know, when somebody says, oh, what about your cat Daisy? And I go, whoa, did you have like a... that was 12 years ago. Like, you know, I'm serious. Like those kinds of things. And then my daughter, we went for a little road trip today. And I was telling her about this, what a friend had said. And she said, but you just did it to me the other day. What do you mean? Well, you mentioned my business, but I haven't had that business for 10 years. I said, what? Did I do that? So it's like time warps and memory. Which I think is interesting. Well, that's another interesting area to explore.
Time warps and memory. I'm writing it down right now.
All right. There you go.
All right. So, well, I guess we're going to, you know, start to wrap up. And it's been a fun evening, you know.
Yeah.
And next week we are going to have Dr. Kelly joining us. He's going to be talking about paranormal talk. And so really, and I don't want to oversell this, but... you have to join us because we will definitively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, put everything to rest that's ever come up when it comes to the paranormal. We're talking ghosts. We're talking cryptids. What kind of conspiracies are out there? Is the Illuminati real? We're going to prove it next week. So please join us. We're looking forward to having you with us. All right. Until next week, Listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.